Vectors Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
The incredible won't get fooled again. That is The Who on Vectors Radio. It's 12:15, and I'm very pleased to say that we've got special guests in the studio, and it's Ben, isn't it? I've got your name right, haven't I?
Yeah, absolutely, and good afternoon, everyone.
It's Ben. Good afternoon to you from Wootton Estate Agents.
That's it.
So, Wootton Estate Agents, where are they?
They're on Wootton High Street. Most people know us for about three doors up from the Fish and Chippy.
And don't talk about food, I'm hungry. How long have you been there? How long have they been there?
Okay, we set it up in 2006. So 16 years or 15 years coming up.
So well and truly established.
Yeah, been going a long time now.
So we should point out that, yeah, okay, it might be Wootton Estate Agents, but you do houses all over.
Yeah, when we first started, we just thought we'd sell a few houses around Wootton and give it a go. And now we've pretty much sold, well, Wootton is still a big area for us, but we sell more properties outside of Wootton than we do inside Wootton now.
Incredible. I would imagine things have changed over the years. I mean, I'm going back years and you used to see things like Foxes. I don't even know whether they're still going or not.
Yeah, Fox and Home, they're still around. Got an office in Ryde.
Okay. And the other one was Pittis. They've been around for years as well.
Yeah.
Are they still going?
Yeah, they're a big corporate on the island.
Has anybody bitten the dust over the last few years?
Yeah, I think like in every industry, some have retired, some have gone separate ways. But yeah, I think there's the kind of the ones that when I started in 2006, the majority of them are still around. A few have gone, a few have started. Just in kind of, I'd say, just in all industry, really.
So is there rivalry between you all?
No, it's funny enough, we all kind of rub along quite well. Because we have to, because if you sell your house with us, but you're buying through another agent, we all have to have communication. And we're all kind of grown up, so...
That's good.
You know, obviously we want everyone to sell their house with us, but we're old enough and wise enough to know that that's not always the case. So we all rub along together, because at the end of the day, we've all got bills to pay.
Yeah, and it's a small place, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, too small. Now, we had two youngsters in from Carisbrook. You met them on the way out, and we asked them the question, and you were out there listening. I'm pretty sure you were. The average house, price-wise, on the Isle of Wight, they guessed at around 300,000.
Well, you know what? They're pretty close, and it depends where you take your data from, but the latest Rightmove data says it was about 285, I think. But we've seen a significant shift in the last 6 months since we started coming out of COVID. The market has dried up, dramatically changed.
Has it?
In
a good way?
It depends who you are. If you're selling your house and you haven't got to buy one, in a great way, because the supply and demand, there's a lot less properties coming on the market. The demand has only increased. So therefore, prices have gone up like a rocket. In the last 6 months, we've probably seen about a 10 to 15% increase, if not more, in certain places.
Does that surprise you? Being you just had COVID, and there's a lot of people talking about people and they're not earning this, losing their jobs here and there. And
oh, massively! I think having an estate agent, when we went into lockdown, you kind of goes crumbs. You know, we've never been through this before. What's going to happen? And as we've come out of lockdown, we've had so much mainland money coming over, so many mainland buyers, where dad no longer has to work in the cities or wherever, and they want to have that quality of life that we've got over here.
Why is that then, do you think? Why is that, people come over here and all of a sudden they've got money and so on? Because I say, the twofold question here, why is that? And how is it that in this... this period of time, this last few, the last year or so has been incredibly tough for an awful lot of people, and yet there you are thriving.
Well, the property market's thriving because where dad used to, like I say, work in the cities and everything, he now doesn't have to commute into London maybe as much or wherever. So they can actually bring the family over to the island, enjoy the beaches, enjoy the forests, because we've got an incredible way of life over here, which we don't appreciate all the time. And, when you go into the cities, and it's not quite as nice as what it is over here.
And not only that, I'm guessing that they're coming from places where property is maybe a little bit more expensive and you get more bang for your buck over here.
Oh, massively. Where they can sell their house for upwards towards £1 million, come over here, and you used to be able to buy pretty much a palace over here for that.
Have you sold £1 million house?
Yeah, we have.
What's that feel like?
What, selling £1 million
house?
Yeah. You know what, it all depends on the people. It sounds really... If you're worried about the money, you wouldn't do the job for that long because it's very up and down. It's kind of like helping families and helping people. That's kind of predominantly what you get your bang out of. So if you can help a family find their new home for however long or whatever and be part of that journey, it's quite an incredible thing. It's more incredible to help a first-time buyer because, you know, it's going to be a lot less normally, a lot less value property, but help them make that jump onto the property market for the first time.
Right.
It's a that's a lovely feeling.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. That's, you know, there's you paint a picture there, a really nice picture as well, and it's kind of, you know, when you look at the way we are, the things that we do, you've got a rough idea of what we do now because you just met some youngsters there, and you've one of the first things you said, well, that must be rewarding, and it is. And for the same reason, you sell a house to a couple that are moving into their first house, and that's a good feeling for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you see a year later, then maybe you've got a little one on the way or everything, and you think, you know what, I've been a very small part of that process, but I've been a little bit of it. And also, buying a house can be quite scary as well. It doesn't matter how old you are, whether it's your first or your sixth or seventh home. So when someone trusts you to help you buy or sell, that's a lovely feeling too.
Well, look, we've got so much to talk about. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to chat some more. And I want to talk about basics of... and hopefully you're going to come back again on a regular basis and we can talk about, you know, we can pinpoint all the different topics that, that estate agents will work to. But I want to work out the basics of what do you need to move house? How much do you need? What's the deposit, you know, rules these days? Is it 10%, 15%, 20%? Or can you get one with you don't put any down? Those are the sorts of things going to be asked in the next little while, so if you're intrigued with that, stay tuned because we will return in a mo.
Your community, your local station. We are your Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, and online at vectisradio.com.
Slade every day on Vectis Radio FM 104.6. It's 12:26, and my guest this lunchtime is Ben from Wootton Estate Agents. And do you know what? We're just having a chat about things that are not estate agency. You got me off track because I find it this is probably one of the most fascinating jobs ever. And I honestly, if you go into so many different houses, and I'll bet you go in and think, oh, I wouldn't want to live in here, or I wouldn't want to live, or I do this with this house. Do you find yourself doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're kind of doing your own house up, you do look back at houses and think, oh, come, they did a good job of that, or they did this, or they did that. So yeah, absolutely. You do sometimes get very envious when you go in other people's houses.
Do you? I mean, this is a personal question. Do you live in a big house?
No, I just live in a normal house.
You do? Because I'd be thinking, I'm a estate agent, so I've got to live in a big house because I've got to have the reputation to go with it.
No, not at all. You know, you're happy with where you live. And like I think I heard you mention earlier, when is the right time to move? The right time to move is when the right time for you is. So yes, house prices go up and down, but your life will dictate to you about when there's the right time to move. And we're just here to help you when that comes up.
Okay, well, that's an interesting you brought that up, because my wife and I have been looking at moving for a number of years. Okay, she says, oh, come on, let's have a look and see what's out there. And that's when you have a bit of a problem, because you then try and work out, because if you've been somewhere for so long, you then have to work out, well, can we afford that? Because when we bought this place, it was X, and now it's probably worth X. So you then got to work out how much things are going to be different and whether it's worth moving or not. So what advice can you give anyone that hasn't moved for 13, 14 years?
Okay, so everybody's personal circumstances are different. So you might have a mortgage, you might not have a mortgage. You might have lots of equity in your property, you might not. But the first thing to really do is kind of assess your own personal finances. And if you need a mortgage, speak to a mortgage broker. And ideally one that can do the whole of the market, because if you just go to a certain banks, they're only going to be able to give you their product. So a bit of a tip there is try and use a broker that can do the whole of the market. And then just decide how much money you've got to go shopping with. So if you know that your house is a certain value, and so for argument's sake, let's say your house is worth $300,000, I have no idea if it is, and you've got £150,000 worth of equity in it.
Right.
So you know that's what your deposit is. Now, an average mortgage is you can normally get, depending on if you're married or not married, et cetera, somewhere between 4 and 5% as a multiplier of your income. So you add that, so you take your salary, times it by 4 to 5 times, add in your deposit. That's what you've got to go and play with. So then you jump on either on the market or Rightmove or one of the big property portals, and you just see what's around for that money. It's just like going shopping for a holiday or for a new car. You kind of got to know what you've got to spend to know what to go and look at.
Do you know what? You paint the picture there, and I think, you know, a lot of what you just said is common sense, really. There was a lady that I used to work with years ago, and she was going through, I mean, you know, she's going back, I'm going back about 20-odd years, and she was saying, I wish, because she was so frustrated about buying and selling, I think there were some hold-ups or something, and anyway, she was moaning and groaning, and she said, wouldn't it be nice if you went and said, right, okay, that's the house I want. Just like if you walked into a supermarket and you said, that's the house I want. What do I need now? I need this, this, this. Take it to the till, pay for it, job done. And I don't know how long we all take now. I mean, you guys do the work, you go and sell the house, and then you hand it over solicitors. Then, I mean, I don't know whether they're slow or they're doing thorough things or whatever, because I've got no idea how it works. I know that when we moved before, it took something like, I don't know, 6 months longer than it should have done. That's what we got so frustrated. So has things, I mean, we haven't moved for that amount of years, has things sped up at all?
No, unfortunately. The whole conveyancing process is a long and complicated process. So they've got to make sure they get it right for you. And it all depends on things like chains. So you're only as quick as the slowest person in the chain, et cetera, et cetera. So if you've got a cash buyer buying your house and you've got nowhere to move to, so you've got another property you can move into, that should be pretty straightforward. You know, 5 or 6 weeks, done and dusted, from the day you take the offer to the day you move out. But then if you've got a couple of people either way in the chain, you've got to move to a property and then they've got to move to a vacant property, and there's a hold up anywhere in that chain, it holds the whole thing up. And that's why estate agency kind of comes to their own, because people do think we just put a for sale board up outside, do a couple of viewings and get the check in the post. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. We put the for sale board up, we do the viewings, we try and negotiate you the best price possible. And then this is kind of stage two, we put it to the conveyancers, and then we've got to kind of get it through from there all the way through to the removal truck coming to take all your belongings. And that can sometimes be more painful and complicated than selling it in the process. And that's why a good agent, which there are a lot on the island, will help you not only sell it, but also get moved. There's kind of a definition there that, you know, it's not just selling, it's helping you move.
Honestly, just talking to you, you've explained it so simply, and that's what you want. It takes the pressure off, it takes the stress out of it, doesn't it? But I'm guessing you're still in the hands of you know, conveyancers and so on. And I know we got frustrated going through that. We weren't frustrated with the estate agents; they kept us up to speed. It was just, you know, every time we went to Shanklin and we had to drop in this right now. You need this, and we're dropping that across. And you're thinking, crikey, can't you guys do this? You get paid enough, don't you, you solicitors? But honestly. It's buying a house, and it's a big job, isn't it?
Yeah, and another little nugget of advice there is choose a conveyancer or a solicitor that's got great communication. You want to be able to phone them, and they answer the phone and talk back to you and explain, you know what, it's not a rosy world, sometimes do things go wrong, but actually this is what's happening and this is what we're doing about it. So try and use a good local one you can phone up, speak to, and get help with. We'll do, as the estate agent, we'll do, you know, the most of the calls, but sometimes there will be that time when you just want to phone up and say, what's going on?
Okay, that makes common sense. I mean, we are, you know, my wife and I are both sort of serious about dipping our toe into the old, you know, market again and having a little look out there and seeing. You say there's a shortage of houses at the moment?
Yeah, we've had a really strange last 6 months, and I think every estate agent will tell you the same story. So supply on house properties going onto the market has really slowed down, and the demand for properties on the Isle of Wight has really increased, which has meant that house prices, like we said earlier, you know, they've really seemed to shot up in the last 6 months alone.
So would that be technically known as a seller's market then, or not?
Yeah, absolutely. So before, when, you know, there used to be, you used to kind of have to really work hard to get that buyer. At the moment, there's a lot of buyers out there all coming, you know, shouting for properties. And it can get quite ugly. There's, you know, when you've got two or three people chasing one property, because there's nothing else around, it just pushes the prices further north.
There's so many questions I want to ask you. There's one that's just popped into my head now. When you watch these TV programs and they have like a ceiling price, it works out the ceiling price, because, you know, just say for instance, if you had a house that was two stories and everyone else is in the street, it's two stories, but there's one that's a three story, you're not going to get much more for because there's a ceiling price. Explain what that is.
Okay, so a ceiling price is a general term for you've got a row of two-bedroomed houses.
Yeah.
And they say they're all for, say, 180,000.
Right.
So you know that predominantly the price of a two-bedroom property on that road is 200,000, or sorry, 180,000. However, say Mrs. and Mrs. Smith turn around and say, well, actually, we want to get 210 for their house, our house. They might just get lucky.
Right.
And the minute they get 210 for their house, and if they don't, if the buyers don't have a survey, et cetera, et cetera, then there is an argument. Then as soon as they've banked that 210, that every other two-bedroom house on that road is now not worth 180 anymore, it's now worth 210. And that's why you're seeing house prices going up, because the mainland, or because of the shortage of supply, people are paying more for properties. So if your neighbour gets good money for his house, it's going to increase the value of your house too.
Thank you for explaining that. That is, to me, I get that.
there's a couple of checks in place, i.e. Bank surveyors or surveyors, they will look at historical evidence. So if all those two-bedroom houses have only ever sold for 180, the surveyors will be saying to the clients, look, you know, you're paying 2 or 210 for this house. I've got to tell you that it's really only worth 180.
Right.
But if that buyer still wants to buy it and they've got the means to, i.e. it's not all mortgaged or there's equity in it, etc., and they still go ahead with it, the minute they bought it, there's the argument that all those houses are now worth 210.
Right. But what about the mortgage company? You then say, well, hang on a minute, we've done a valuation and we're only prepared to loan X because it's that's where it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can't argue that and you can't find any of the comparable evidence, they call it, to try and argue it with them, they'll only lend you that amount. However, if you only need a 10% deposit and you've got a 30% deposit, you can maybe play around with your buy or your loan to values. So basically, you end up stumping up the extra money.
Okay. So is there something that the estate agents will work to, and just say for instance the banks work to as well?
Yeah, it's actually quite similar. That we get more of a poetic license. So there's what's called your comparable evidence. So all those houses that have sold for 180, you'll turn around and say, well, hang on a minute, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 10 have all sold for 180. So if you're 12, then you've got to be the same ish. But that's in a normal market. In the market at the moment we're in now, you'll jump onto one of the portals like Rightmove or Zoopla, and you'll look at two-bedroom houses. And if there's no other ones around in that area, and there's a demand for properties in that area, then you'll say to your client, look, your house should only be worth 180, but at the moment there's nothing else around. So how high do you want to try and fly this kite within reason?
Right. I like that terminology. Interesting. I'm just popping into my head now. People say in the past the best way to sell your house is have some coffee on and cooking some bread. Does that work? Really?
Yes and no. It's got to be a pleasurable experience. Sales, anything in sales has got to be pleasurable, isn't it? If it's not pleasurable, if there's too much pressure, if someone says to you, do you want to buy it within 30 seconds of walking through the door, your back gets up and it's no longer enjoyable. However, if the house is clean, it's tidy, obviously with today's market, it has to be COVID secure, then it's a pleasurable one. You're more chance of getting a buyer.
How has that worked for you? You mentioned COVID over the last 12 months. How difficult has that been?
It's just something we've had to manage. So when COVID really hit, we went into property videos. So now we include a walk-around property video, which we'll ask people that are viewing to watch the video before they actually view. And clients have actually really liked it, because rather than them driving to a property, viewing the property, and then not liking it, they've actually watching the video. It's only 3 or 4 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got more of an idea of what to expect. So they're actually turning up kind of almost pre-qualified, because they've watched the video. If they say they've got mobility issues and the steps, they've seen that there's half a dozen steps up to the front door and it's going to be no good.
Yeah.
So they've cancelled the viewing, which has saved their time, our clients' time and our time.
I mean, that is something, that's a real bugbear to me. I'll tell you what happened about 15, 16, maybe 17 years ago. My mum and my dad were looking for a house, and they ended up looking at a house down our street. We were living in a different street then, and we knew they weren't going to move in. They were just being nosy. And it just got me thinking, you're wasting your time, you're wasting my time because you're telling me about it, but more importantly, you're wasting the estate agent's time as well. So the video thing, I think that's a fantastic idea. You don't even have to leave the house, do you, to find out whether that house is going to be pretty much perfect for you or not.
And it also gives us another platform as well, because, again, going back to the amount of mainland money we've got coming over and mainland purchases we've got coming over, they might not know that there's an amazing restaurant around the corner that's very well known. They might not know that there's a secret little crabbing space on this fantastic beach that's just down the bottom of the hill. So on the videos, what we try and put across is be true to the property. So if it's got steps and you've got mobility issues, it may not be no good. But also, it gives us a platform to say, oh, and by the way, you know, if the kids love the beach, there's a great beach just around the corner, Golden Sand. There's walks around the woods just up there on the left-hand side. The number, whatever bus is every 12 minutes and it's just down the bottom of the road. The local schools are such and such. So it kind of helps paint that picture.
There's a lot of work for you to do there, finding out all that stuff. But I'm guessing you kind of have a rough idea when you move in, when you have a look around. Before you've even turned up at the house, you're probably having a good look around, right? Has it got schools? Has it got good roads?
I think like most of us, you know, if you lived on the island 30 years, you kind of know where the nearest beach, the nearest school and this and that and the other is.
How long, just say for instance, how long would it take you, supposing I said to you now, right, I want to put my house on the market, how long would it take for it to be on the market?
Well, funny enough, while I was in your waiting room, I had a client phone on my mobile who wants to put the house on the market.
Right.
I'm going to go and see them at 1:30 today. And if you look by the end of the day, you will see there's a bungalow coming up in Wootton, funny enough, that will be on by the end of the day.
Wow. So it is really quick, instant almost.
There's a couple of legislative things we've got to do. We've got to obviously do the ID checks, money laundering checks, order what's called an energy performance certificate. But in essence, yes, it's really quick process.
What's the quickest house you sold? How long did it take?
Funny enough, I sold one last week in 48 hours.
Wow.
From it going on the market.
That is quick.
Yeah, clients came all the way down from London just to see it.
Good grief. And then how long will it be before everything's sorted out?
Okay, so this is an unusual one, but we've put a 28-day exchange limit on it.
Wow, right, okay.
So the clients have got 28 days to get it exchanged.
Okay. Did they put that on it or did you?
It worked well for everybody. The buyers really wanted it.
Yeah.
The sellers have got another property and didn't want to be messed around, going back to what you were saying before about the whole process. So we suggested to our clients, look, you want it done quickly, they want it done quickly. Let's put a 28-day turnaround. So it's 28 working days from when the draft contract goes out. They've got to exchange.
Okay, that sounds about right, doesn't it?
Oh, it would be great if they're all like that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. So what can people expect? You mentioned process then. So let's go through the process.
So
somebody phones you. Sorry, you're...
Yeah, no, what I was going to say was, so like my client from earlier.
Yeah.
So I will go around after this. We'll take the photos, do the details, do the video we spoke about, do the ID checks, make sure there's a, what's called an energy performance certificate for it. If not, we'll get it commissioned. We'll then get it online. So people will be able to see it on Rightmove, Zoopla, on the market. We'll send it out to our lead bank. We'll also phone it out to, you know, the applicants that are in a really good position. So basically all the guys in the office are ready to get it out there. And then people start phoning. So clients will phone and say, can we go and have a look at this property? We'll say, well, have you seen the video first? If not, please just 2 or 3 minutes long, just have a quick look. Let me give you some more information about it. We'll book in the viewing, do the viewing, and then negotiate the offer if they want to offer.
So that's basically the process.
Yep.
That's it. And that's how quick it can be. How far are, if you just say, for instance, we say to you today, come round, measure up, take some pictures, whatever, and it goes on the market, and then we decide in a week's time how, you know, we don't want to sell or we've changed our minds. How committed are we? How, you know, what happens then? Are we charged anything?
No, you're not committed at all. And that's why it's a big life change. And we understand that, you know, things change and emotions change. So now, up until exchange of contracts, there's normally no penalties. What you do have to get is what's called an energy performance certificate.
Right.
And they last 10 years and they're 70, 80 quid. And they last, you need it to sell or rent. So chances are in the next 10 years, you're going to need it anyway. But you just pay a supplier for that. But there's no charge from us. We just say, we hope you did you all right and hopefully see you on the next time.
Okay. No, that's so... Just say, for instance, if you put your house on the market and you get to the point, which is the first point you get to where it might cost you money if you change your mind?
When you instruct the solicitors on either the purchase or the sale of it.
Right.
Some conveyancers or solicitors, they do have kind of a money-back guarantee or a no-cost if the sale aborts for a reason that's not your fault. But yeah, you're pretty into it. Apart from an energy performance certificate, it's pretty much all inclusive up until you accept that offer, and then you're going to start incurring some solicitor charges.
Okay. What's the biggest thing that's changed in the last 10, 15 years?
In what way?
New rules, regs, certificates. You mentioned certificates there for energy and stuff like that.
Yeah, see, it's just a kind of a hurdle to jump over. You now need to get an energy assessor to come around to energy assess how energy efficient your house is, which in theory is a great idea. In practice, it's just another hoop to jump through. The biggest legislative change has been in rentals. There's been a huge amount of legislation coming in for rentals. And that's kind of a whole topic all on its own.
Oh, you've got to come back and talk rentals then. just off the top of my head, did they bring in some kind of regulation that you can't evict anybody at the moment because of the current situation?
Yeah, so Section 21 or Section... used to be a two-month... you've got to give your tenants 2 months' notice. During COVID, that went up to 6 months. And then I think from the 1st of June, that's now been reduced to 4 months. Just before you know, for the notice period to give the tenants to move out, really.
Wow. I mean, honestly, come back and talk about rentals, because I think that's a fascinating thing. Are there more rentals than bought houses on the island? If so, what's the ratio?
You know what? I don't know what the ratio is, but at the moment, what I can tell you is it's a really sad state of affairs, because I think there's 8 rental properties on Rightmove at the moment that are available. And this is a real crisis, because there's a lot of good, lovely families and people that just can't get a rental property.
Okay, interesting.
So yes, the market for sales is good at the moment, or for, you know, there's strong demand for properties for sales, but for rentals, it's just crazy. And it's quite scary.
Have you had to, change over the last sort of 10 years with technology?
I mean, of course we have.
And if so, how have you managed that? Because there's a lot of people out there that are not very switched on with technology, making films and videos and things like that. That must be really exciting. So did you have to go and learn how to put that all together?
No, I guess it's just one of those things that you learn along the way. So when we first started in 2006, Rightmove was in its infancy, and a website, when I think back to our first website, it makes me cringe. But as time's gone on and things change, you just kind of have to adapt. So obviously the website gets a lot better. I think presentation, you know, photos need to look amazing, the video needs to look good, the details need to be eye-catching. You can't get away with, you know, you're the only estate agent around with your shop window, so you can just do dark, miserable photos of a house. They need to be bright, lovely, light photos that really entices a buyer in. Because when you're going through the internet where everybody can see it, yes, you're showing your client's property off, but actually, in a way, you're showing your own company off. Because if you do amazing photos, then people are going to be like, Wharton estate agents, look at the quality of their photos, the quality of their details, you know, let's go to them.
That's what you want. I mean, obviously, that's what you want nowadays. I'm just thinking, when we bought our house 14-odd years ago, you had 4 photos and they weren't the best. Now, you look on a website now and you can be immersed in the house. You can see it from all different kinds of views and everything. You must have had to have a little bit of training with the old technology there.
Yeah, and as we get older, it doesn't get any easier. but again, you get the video cameras that... when I was a lot younger, kind of fit on your shoulder, and now they click into your mobile phone and it's gimbals and this, that and the other. But like everything, you just, you know, when you're in business, you have to adapt to survive. And if you don't adapt and if you don't move on, then you get left behind. And that's what we have to do for our clients, because rightly so, they've got an expectation that the photos will be great, that the video will be good quality, that the floor plan's there. You know, that's what they expect, and that's what we've got to deliver.
Brilliant. Hey, look, it's been fascinating talking to you. It really is. It's been a real eye-opener. Will you come back again? We'll talk rentals.
Yeah, of course I will. I'd love to.
Because there's so many other things we haven't talked about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd love to, and thank you for the opportunity.
No problem at all. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some China crisis. John is on the way with the afternoon show, and thank you very much for coming in.
No, Ian, thanks ever so much.